Let's go now to Cleveland, where the Republican National Convention ended last night with Donald Trump's acceptance speech. VPR's John Dillon has spent the week with the Vermont delegates there. Before flying home this morning, John gave us his impressions of last night's main event, the speech by the nominee himself, Donald J. Trump.
Well, I think people were impressed. I mean, these are obviously diehard Republicans, and many, many, many are Trump fans, so they weren't being super critical. But it was a really long speech. Some compared it to President Nixon's Law and Order speech in 1972. It had a lot of criticism about the country, and I guess if your slogan is make America great, you've got to say why America is horrible. And that's what he did. And people talked about their reflections where Trump sort of nailed his critique of the economy, crime. I think there's a lot of fear out there, especially among the delegation, about increased crime, about immigration. So they thought he really captured that. And then, you know, the mood of these conventions, the goal of these conventions is to really whip up the faithful. So the criticism of the Obama administration, Obamacare, and then, of course, Hillary Clinton hit home for a lot of people.
Does that stand for the Vermont delegation as well? I know there are some non-Trump supporters in the Vermont delegation, but you felt like they were sort of swept along as well?
I do. I mean, I think they come out of here. I think only one or two will not vote for Trump, but they come out of here fired up and believing that critique of the Obama record and then what the GOP describes, and certainly everybody here was describing, as another Obama term with Hillary Clinton.
So Donald Trump actually mentioned Bernie Sanders in his speech last night and predicted that millions of Sanders supporters will wind up turning around and voting for him, Donald Trump. Now, Bernie Sanders put a photo of himself on social media watching the Trump speech, and he, of course, avowed his support for Hillary Clinton. Any impressions, John?
Yeah, he made that point after talking about trade issues. He said Sanders was right about that, and then he segued and said, you know, millions of Bernie's people are going to come to me. I think there's something to it. I think it's definitely a thing. I don't know if it's millions or hundreds of thousands, but this is purely an anecdote. But last night I found a relatively quiet place to work, and it was near where the arena staff, you know, hundreds of people who were working there all week, it's near where they got fed. And young guy, African-American college kid, sat down where I was, and we talked for over an hour. And this guy was a business major, a Cleveland native, and he was a Sanders supporter. This is his first election, and he's in a swing state, Ohio, obviously, and he's taking it really, really seriously, and he's seriously thinking about voting for Trump. What I heard from him is the Hillary baggage message, you know, that was being hammered on so much this week, and maybe that's where he was coming from, but he says he can't really trust her, that she lied about her emails in Benghazi. And he studied her positions, you know, on the economy, on foreign affairs, and he's really on the fence.
Hmm. And he was there to make some money, not to be a participant at the convention?
Oh, yeah. No, he was working. This was his job. This was his vacation week, and they asked him to work. And he jumped at it, obviously. He wanted to be a part of history.
In your reporting this week, you've been describing that the participants at the convention, all the delegates and everybody who's there inside the convention events, have been kind of in a bubble, and that's partly because of security. Can you describe that bubble and what it's like to be both inside and outside it?
Yeah. So to get in, first of all, you have to apply months in advance. You have to get Secret Service clearance, get clearance in for the media. You have to get clearance from a congressional press office. And then to get actually inside the arena, you go through a double line of literally a phalanx of police officers lined up, and you kind of walk through the middle of that, and there's the general public on either side. And then once you're in, you know, of course, there's this huge security screening process. And then inside, there's also a caste system of access where certain badges get you inside the perimeter but not inside the arena, and then whether you can get on the floor. And then there's the upper echelons, literally, of the arena where the VIPs party, and that super selective. I wandered into one area and they kicked me out. I just was trying to find a quiet place. Anyway, so it really is convention world and then the real world. And the delegates they're not experiencing the real world. I mean, they have to go through all the security too. And that was just my overall feeling, that you're inside this place that's so separate from what's happening in the world outside for this week.
It sounds almost like it's like being in Las Vegas, that you're just in this sort of bizarro place where time and space have no real reality.
You know, somebody else made that comparison, like being in a casino, and obviously they're not betting or anything like that, but you're in there, and at one point I was in there for hours, and then I walked outside and I realized it was still daylight. So it does. There's this physical and psychological separation of being inside the event and then getting outside into the normal world.
And did you get to do that at all and see what was happening in the real world?
Yeah. Yesterday I went out a lot and, you know, it was a spectacle both inside and outside. There was demonstrators of every persuasion, communists, socialist worker party, pro-Trump, anti-Trump. There was a theater, street theater outside, and then just huge security presence. I'm sure it's been described in detail elsewhere, but police agencies from all over the country, highway patrols from dozens of states. And so in this place called the Public Square, which was sort of the designated protest zone, when I was there, for a lot of it, the police officers outnumbered the protesters. It was that heavy a security presence.
So, John, you're about to get on a plane and come home. Presumably, the Vermont delegation is making its way back to Vermont. Do you think this week, this convention week, does anything to galvanize or direct the focus of the Vermont Republican Party moving towards November?
I'm not sure what the overall benefit is from this convention for the general election for the GOP. Remember, the Vermont GOP leadership isn't here, and I think that signals sort of a division in the party from its leaders to the rank and file, because Phil Scott stayed away, Bruce Listman, his primary opponent in the gubernatorial race, has yet to endorse Trump. The folks here who are part of the grassroots and party faithful are fired up. They do think that Trump has brought new people into the party. But the party leaders have made the choice to stay away and distance themselves. I mean, no one said that more clearly than former Governor Jim Douglas, he's sort of the elder statesman of the party in Vermont, and he was for John Kasich, condemned Donald Trump. He was initially thinking of coming here to try and work on a Kasich insurgency, but that didn't work out. So they are divided, and what the net boost is to the party in the state, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if there is one.
VPR's John Dillon reporting still one last time here from Cleveland. He was at the Republican National Convention. John, thanks for your reporting. Safe travels home.
Thanks very much, Jane.